Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
So, Jeremy, starting to feel a little bit more like we're getting a rhythm going here, and this will be actually very good data being collected now by the teams in the heat of the day, as it were, early afternoon, as it's as hot as it's going to get. Clear skies, sun's been on the track for quite a long time now, and what we're seeing now is the team settling into that rhythm.
Yeah, brilliant race unfolding here. Dane Cameron, though, he's absolutely romping away. He's 10 seconds clear now of Ricky Taylor, who is ahead of Tristan Nunez, who you might have seen in that traffic on the last lap, did sneak away past Felipe Nasr. So it's now Acura, Mazda, and then the string of Cadillacs behind him. So Nunez up into third place, good opportunistic move there in the traffic. In LMP2, Patrick Kelly has got almost a whole lap now over Kuba Smykowski, who has got past John Ferrano for second position. He was closing on Ferrano at, well, 4 or 5 seconds a lap. He made that pass last time around, so number 51 car for inter-Europol competition up into second position in LMP2.
Let's check in with our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock reporter. This is Shea Adam. Now, has it all got exciting in the pits, and is there lots of information being passed around, or with people settling into that rhythm that Jeremy and I were talking about, has it all quietened down now and the drivers just going about their work?
Quieted down quite a bit, actually. It seems that most of the second drivers are still up on the box getting ready for pit stops coming pretty soon in terms of DPI. We're expecting the prototypes to come in about 5 to 10 minutes with their window. But in terms of the GT categories, lots more drivers settling in and relaxing for a long period of time off before they're plugged in for duty. I was just checking in, actually, with the PR1 team because this is an opportunity for them. Last year, the LMP2 team did come home with the win, but both of the cars were out before hour 6, which means that PR1, trying to win this race, yes, for the second year in a row, but trying to back flat for the first time.
Shea Adam, our VP, Racing Fuel Pit Paddock reporter, wherever you are in the world, get in touch at IMSA Radio. And I know it's a wee way ahead, but when the checkered flag falls, it might be the end of the race, but it's only the start of the conversation as far as we at IMSA Radio are concerned. Michelin Post Race Tech uses the hashtag MichelinPRT at IMSA Radio. Make notes now, dear listener and viewer. If there's something that you see or hear that you want us to try and clarify for you in our Post Race Tech show, brought to you by Michelin, then get on the tweetage now and let us know what that is. It could be a question you want answered, an observation you've made, or some form of discussion you would like to start. Maybe a question that you'd like to ask us. At IMSA Radio, hashtag Michelin PRT, please, for Post Race Tech at the end of the show. End of the race, excuse me. It's been an absolutely tremendous drive by Dane Cameron, and he's really setting his stall out early. Been in since the start of the race. No Penske Acuras next year, Jeremy, but those fans of Honda and Acura shouldn't fret too much, because two teams have already been announced to take up the baton of the Acura DPI cars.
Yeah, that is certainly exciting. It sounds like we're going to be losing one of the Mazdas, which is a big shame. But both of the Acura cars will be back. One of them with Michael Schenck Racing. They announced that Olivier Pla will be rejoining that team. Olivier Pla, of course, won Petit Le Mans back in 2016 for the Meyer Schenck Racing organisation. So he'll be back in that car next year. It's the first rider confirmed by that team, apart from the fact that AJ Allmendinger will drive in the Rolex 24 at Daytona, and the second car will be run, as we heard a couple of weeks ago, somewhat surprisingly, for the Konica Minolta team, car number 10. So yes, exciting news for Acura fans.
BMW, bright red BMW going through the first corner, still trying to chase down Nick Tandy. That's Conor De Filippi. Extraordinary that even through the traffic, the GTLMs have stretched out just a little bit, but not that much. They're still well within virtual touching distance of each other. They're quite socially distanced, actually, at the moment. Here comes the lead car into the pit lane. That is 29 laps, and all bar the first two of green flag running. Shea Adam is watching the pit stop.
Dane Cameron with the worst possible pit box for a DPI. That's because he comes in last in the championship standings as far as the individual teams are concerned. So Juan Pablo Montoya getting installed behind the wheel of this Acura DPI means he will have a clean exit, being the only car into the pit lane. A great start by Dane, clearing out from everybody else around him. Fuel tires, a headlight clean. That's a little bit early to be doing that, and just waiting on the fuel.
So once again, fuel being the determining factor. Waiting for that car to get back underway. It is now heading towards the exit. So make a note of that somewhere. 29 laps for Dane Cameron. Actually, will that trip over to 30, Jeremy, when he goes across the line? Yes, it will, won't it? So that is that 30 laps he's done? Yes, it is.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Including the couple of laps of
full course yellow.
Of yellow, yeah. Exactly. I would be expecting the Cadillacs have got a little bit extra fuel than they had here last month. They've got an extra 3 litres. I would expect them to be doing 31 or 2 laps, possibly even 33. And we'll see what the other contenders can do. We'll see now Ricky Taylor is in next time around. And the Philippine Nasser, however, stays out on the racetrack as both number 7 and the number 77 are into the pits.
Shit.
It was full service for the 77 Mazda as Ollie Jarvis took over for Tristan Nunez. Fuel and tires for the Mazda as well. And this driver change, another one where we're seeing full season driver to full season driver. Ricky Taylor out, Elio Castroneves back behind his normal sports car Steve. He's been doing a little bit of extracurricular IndyCar driving in the recent past, since our race at Mid-Ohio where he claimed to win. Looks like they're having a little bit of issue belting him in, though, getting the belt down over the Hans device. Nope, they got it sorted, and well before the fuel probe comes out, 30 seconds worth of fuel is maximum for a tank, and 30 seconds was what they took. Away goes the number 7.
Yeah, pretty decent stop again by Acura Team Penske. Well, miss the Team Penske boys, of course, but something tells me they won't be away from sports car racing for very long. Very exciting time for IMSA and for sports car racing around the world, with new sets of regulations coming in all the major championships. Always presents new opportunities. And if we know anything about Roger Penske, Jeremy, we know that a new set of opportunities is exactly the sort of scenario that Mr. Penske and the Penske organisation love to take advantage.
Yeah, very much so. And here is number 31 car out of the leader into the pits. And the Konica Minolta car of Ryan Briscoe does stay out to do one more lap. So it's done already 2 more laps than the number 6 and number 77 cars. And it won't be coming until at least one more lap as well. So good fuel conservation there from the number 10 car. And we're going to keep an eye on that as this whole race unfolds.
I really like it when patterns continue to play out, and Pipo Durrani should be taking over for Felipe Nasser, according to the full season driver sharing the car first. And that's exactly what has happened. So Felipe Nasser, with a double stint to start this race, has handed it over to Pipo, who is now just waiting on the fuel, and he's got 4 new Michelin tires, and he was told by the team put some heat in him, so he did a very nice burnout while leaving the pit lane. Also into the pits at the same time was the Mustang sampling Cadillac, former teammate to that 31 red Cadillac. That too was a pit stop, but there was no driver change for the 5, so Sebastian Bourdais stayed aboard the dark cabin.
So Ryan Briscoe coming to complete 33 laps last time around, been sitting in 6th position, Johnny, and you know, we were looking at the pace and thinking, well, that's all right, but he's a little bit off the pace at the moment. I'll come back to that thought in a sec, as the number 77 Mazda tries to go Buffalo Gals round the outside at turn 6 and does do that. Wow, round the outside at turn 6 is a very, very impressive manoeuvre for Ollie Jarvis, who's just climbed aboard that car. And it's very seldom that you get the jump on that particular Cadillac. Very impressive indeed. That was Pete Mutarani that took that car over, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was tyres, John, I reckon, because NASA on an outlap, of course, and Jarvis had been out for a couple already, so he built the tyre temperature.
Fair point, and he knew he had to do that and do it quickly to get the advantage. Finally, in from the lead, the glossy black Cadillac. Shit.
Fuel and tyres only for Ryan Briscoe. He stays aboard for another stint.
Wow, okay. So, completes 33 laps then. So, just to recap, the Acura team Penske number 6, Dane Cameron, came in. Juan Montoya took it back out, and that car will cycle back into the lead, having done 30 laps. Tristan Nunez for Mazda did 30 laps. He's handed to Ollie Jarvis. Felipe Nasr, on a pretty much full green flag run, bar 2 laps, did 32. Ricky Taylor, 31 for the Acura team Penske. 32 for Sebastian Bourdais, but 33 for Ryan Briscoe, who's obviously been saving a wee bit of fuel. New fastest lap of the GT Le Mans race, and it's by Lawrence Vanter, 117.141 in second place, as he closes within 1.1 seconds of Tonio Garcia. That's the leading car, and the second place car is that Porsche that's chasing him down. Last 15 minutes seems to have disappeared very quickly indeed. Just looked at the time to go there, and it seems like a moment or two ago I was doing the rundown for the hourly update as we crossed the 9-hour mark, already down to 8 hours and 45 minutes. So the gap at the front of the field now is Juan Montoya to the 77 of Ollie Jarvis. Third place will be Pipo Durrani. Elio Castroneves for Acura Team Penske, the car that was in second before the pit stops, now in fourth, Jeremy, and 19 seconds behind its teammate.
Yeah, the lap before number six car came into the pits to take his first up. There's a spin.
55.
I think he was 55. Clipping the Ferrari, wasn't he? 63 Ferrari,
yeah.
Which was running in the top four in the GTD car, the 55 car then. It's five laps down after that early stop, and he just looked like he turned into the corner just way too soon there, and he hadn't cleared the number 63 car. That was a strange looking incident.
I think he was coming out, had he just come out the pits?
Yes, I think you're probably right.
Yeah, he'd just come out the pits. He stayed out the way of, I think it might have been his teammate actually going through there, and then went back across to the racing line, not realising the Ferrari was there.
Yeah.
That was the top of turn two, by the way.
It was, John, and you're right. And you're coming out of the pit, so you're right on the right-hand side of the road. He probably wouldn't have seen that Ferrari all the way over on the left-hand side of the racetrack coming up the hill to crest that. So that's just kind of one of the things that happens here at Road Atlanta. And that's also why a lot of the teams, they have a spotter in that part of the racetrack for precisely that reason.
Ryan Hunter-Reay in that car. So 8:43 still to go. Antonio Garcia, fastest lap of the GT Le Mans field, responding to Lawrence Vanter, who closed within a second and is now 2.2 seconds. That's a cracking battle, you know, in GT Le Mans, the grey, silver grey and yellow Corvette looks absolutely fantastic, the number four car. That's the third position machine of Tommy Milner. It's the yellow and grey car that leads the race. They might not be side by side and trading paint and door mirrors, Jeremy, but this GT Le Mans battle, if you've got the timing up wherever you are watching, either trackside or at home, just look at the lap times that are going in. It is literally fractions of a second between all these GT Le Mans cars. They might as well, Jeremy Shaw, be side by side, because they are really competing at every corner and every inch of this 2.5 miles.
Yeah, they are. It's really interesting battle, isn't it? And it's kind of ebbing and flowing. When they were here a month ago, tyre wear was a pretty major problem for all of the teams in most of the classes. Today, it's a lot cooler out there. A lot cooler air means more downforce, less sliding of the cars, less tyre degradation. So that is certainly going to help the teams that were struggling, particularly with their tyre wear even just 1 month ago. That's something, again, yet another thing to keep an eye on as this race unfolds. It's a fascinating contest in these early stages. I think still in GTLM, you know, no one's really pushing the limits too far here. But you know, during this stint, the top three have certainly edged away from the two BMWs and Nick Tandy in the number 911 car.
If you were listening to IMSA Radio RS2 earlier on our pre-race show, the Michelin Countdown to Green, we mentioned in the Porsche keys to the race about pit stops and staying clean at pit stops. It's so important. So much time can be gained or lost in the pit lane. And there will be plenty of pit stops, of course, in the remaining 8 hours and 41 minutes. Already an issue for one of the cars. And Shea Adam can tell us exactly what's been going on in this VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock update.
Drive-through penalty for the newbies, the Inter-Europo competition number 51 LMP2 car, leaving the pit box with equipment attached, then a drive-through penalty, which that car has just served.
Right, okay. So they've got that one out of the way very quickly. Jeremy?
Yeah, that's the second mistake by that team. The first one was not taking the wave around at the first yellow, which could have got them back on the lead lap. They did get back on the lead lap on pure pace from Kuba Szymakowski in that second stint, but now they'll have fallen off the lead lap again. And John Ferrano in the tower, motorsport by Starworks entry, he stayed out three laps longer. Well, of course, he pitted a couple laps later during the caution period than the other LMP2 contenders, but he did do one lap more than everybody else during that last stint. So John Ferrano in second place in the LMP2 category, but Scott Huffaker, who's taken over from Patrick Kelly, has a full lap lead, I think, at this stage in LMP2, in car number 52.
Yeah, that car has done the attendant pit stop that the cars behind have done. They got 32 laps in that number 52 car. They all run the same engine, of course, the Gibson V8. John Ferrano got 33 laps before he came into the pits. Kubek got 33 as well. There was a bit of yellow involved in those, weren't there? Yeah, there was a couple of laps of yellow at the start, but pretty similar, as you would expect for cars that run the same drive line. Down into turn one, there's a pass for position there, was it? The 10 and the 5, Bourdais and Briscoe running close together. I can't decide which way around they are. No, it's still the 5 that's slightly ahead. It's the dark grey car and the glossy black car picking their way through a GT Daytona and a GT Le Mans Porsche there as they were carving through traffic. Now down at turn 6. They cover the ground very quickly indeed, don't they? So racing to come into the night. One or two people earlier in the week wondering why we had to have a night time free practice session on Thursday night, that 90 minutes. Well, Petit Le Mans has always run into the darkness, mirroring the race on which it originally was based, of course. Dr. Dom Peno's much missed, having been smitten, I think it's fair to say, with the history and the occasion that the event of the Le Mans 24 Hours in France brings to the endurance racing world, decided to create the US version, and in 1998 the first Petit Le Mans was run. I was there and I remember thinking to myself, this is a great idea, it's such a good idea, it can't possibly continue, motor racing's not that sensible. And yet it has, thankfully, down through the years, it's brought us some fantastic drama. Into the pit lane for Nick Tandy. Shea Adam.
First of our driver changes in GTLM, and they, like the prototypes, are sticking with the full season drivers going in the car first. So Nick Tandy jumps out, heads over to Fred McAvecky, this duo which has won many of the great races together. looking to try and add Petit Le Mans to that list once again. Fred fully belted in fuel and tires for the 911 Porsche, the first of the GTLM stoppers, and Fred very graciously leaves the pit box. Actually, that wasn't a big plume of tire smoke. Thank you for that, Fred. I appreciate it.
I've seen people drive out the supermarket with more verve than that. That was a very understated takeoff from Fred Matavecchi. Rejoins to driver's right going up the hill. Slots into a nice little gap there as well. Juan Montoya leading by 17.2 seconds from Ollie Jarvis. 1:10 flat last time around. A full second taken out of Montoya's lead by the Englishman in the 77 Mazda. 1:10.9. Was that the quickest lap of the race for Ollie Jarvis? Yes, it was, and for the 77. So Ollie getting down to business very quickly indeed. He's been out there for 11 laps. Really impressive.
Not quite fastest lap, but his fastest lap.
Sorry, that's what I meant. Yes, his fastest lap of the race for
exactly
that car.
Right. So
yes, my apologies.
Yeah, he's realising that Montoya now has extended that lead to 17 seconds. Well, I'd say extended. It was about 60 when he came out of the pit, so lost seven or eight laps. Now he's maintaining the gap to Juan Pablo Montoya and turning quick laps when he has the opportunity to do so, which he did on that last lap, you're right. And as a result of that, he's pulled out now 3 seconds over Pipo Durrani, who's a similar margin ahead of Elio Castro Neves, who dropped from second place before that round of pit stops. He came in a couple of seconds ahead of the number 77 car, but he's come out, he's now running in the fourth position. That's car number seven, the car that won the last three races in a row. Of course, very early on, no need for concern whatsoever.
No.
He'll be just doing his job from there. New fastest lap also in LMP2, the third place car, which is Mikkel Jensen, the Danish driver at the wheel of that Tower Motorsports by Starworks entry. He is trying to close down Jakub Śmiechowski, and he's actually doing it again because he's had another fastest lap in LMP2. A woman at 11.2. It's a pretty darn good lap in LMP2. The race lap record, by the way, in LMP2 was set last month by Simon Trummer, the 1:10.8. So Mikkel Jensen, just a few laps after taking over the wheel of that number 8 car, he's a lap down to the leader, Scott Huffaker, but he's turning some very quick laps.
Yeah, Mikkel Jensen getting on very quickly with that LMP2 car. Just going back to what Jeremy was saying at the front of the field, Montoya versus Jarvis. You know, if you find a second here and lose a second there, in most forms of motor racing, you'd think something was going horribly wrong. It is just the traffic. We've said this many times. In fact, we really need a T-shirt that said "Traffic giveth and traffic taketh away." That is absolutely, and what you'll find, and you'll see this throughout the race, is with a gap of 16 seconds as it is now between first and second, Montoya will put a lap in that might be a second and a half, 2 seconds slower than he's been going around in, and then the next lap around, or maybe two laps after that, Ollie Jarvis will hit that same bunch of traffic. And what happens is, though, that can change, and that traffic clump that might be there for one driver can disappear, or you might find that one driver is a little bit more edgy in traffic, doesn't want to make the moves, the risk versus reward calculation going on in the head. And that's when you see, you've got to look over a number of laps, don't you, Jeremy, and see where the trend is going. Looking at individual laps sometimes can be a little bit misleading.
Yeah, very definitely so. You're absolutely right there, John. Looking at individual laps, though, as we see the number 48 car, Madison Snowy, he's about 3 seconds clear now of Junior Machimi, the pole sitter in the Michael Meyer Shank Racing Acura. So the Lamborghini leads Acura there just by maybe 100 yards or so. But in LMP2, Mikkel Jensen has caught Jakub Śmiechowski for second position. I'm sure looking to make that move through. There's a slow lap for Scott Huffaker, a really slow lap for the race leader in LMP2. Not quite sure what happened to number 52 car on that last lap.
8 seconds off.
Yeah,
that was very slow. 40 laps, by the way, being completed by Madison Snow, Shinji Mishimi, Lars Kern, and Cooper McNeil. Well, it will be when they come round this time. So they can't be that far off coming into the pits. Maybe with a bit of yellow, which they did have at the start. Maybe another, what, two, three, four at the outside, Jeremy, do we think?
Yeah, outside. Somewhere between 40 and 42 laps is what I would expect under full green for the GTD cars. But again, you know, they're certainly mindful of their fuel consumption, so they're going to be trying to stretch it as long as they can. And just, you know, there's no point in using all the fuel up. There isn't a fuel limit that they have. That's not a problem. But the longer they can go between pit stops, the better in the long term for the race.
I tell you what, though, Jeremy, and I'm not sure whether this was the plan all along. We couldn't have known that yellow was going to come out. But you know, Shea telling us they're very mindful in that Paul Miller race at Red, White and Black Racing, Red, White and Black at number 48, was the points at 4 hours. And they were early on back timing to 4 hours to get the points in the Endurance Cup. But it's actually, with the way the yellow fell, that worked really well for them because they were able to cycle through to the front of the field. And they've clearly decided now, as they pitted with everybody else on the last yellow, that they would take the advantage they had of track position because they knew they were going to have to put far less fuel in. And so it still worked for them. And they're back on the same fuel strategy as everyone else. So that's worked really even better than they could have planned. And indeed, here comes Madison Snow into the pit lane. They can lock up the Michelin Endurance Cup today. They need a 9-point advantage. And they came in here today with an 8-point advantage. Into the pit lane for Madison Snow. Is it time for him to get out, Shea, Adam?
Yes, it is. And it's time for him to hand over to Brian Sellers. I really like saying that. Just waiting on the fuel as the tire change is complete. The car about to come off the air jacks. Just a quick swipe of the front grille. This team doesn't actually drop the car off the air jacks until the refueling is done. That's the signal to the driver that they're clear to leave so that there is no sort of discrepancy going on whatsoever. Parked off the air jacks a little bit before the fuel is done there, but that was a very clean stop by Paul Miller Racing.
Yeah, it's worked out perfectly for them, Jeremy, hasn't it? And sometimes, you know, it's better to be lucky than good. Fair to say that team has been both down through the years. Former series champions, of course. Great to have them back and looking to win another championship, albeit not the full championship, but there are trophies. It's the end of the season for Michelin Endurance Cup, and they will want to get that wrapped up as quick as they can.
Yes. The Michelin Endurance Cup is important for many of the teams. Some of them attach more importance than others, certainly, but it's a great feather to have in your cap, and it is something you need to think about now. You know, the number 48 team has a good lead coming into this round, the third round out of four. It'll be finished, of course, at Sebring 12 hours. The other classes, the number 10 team has a 4-point edge in the DPI category. The number 52 team has a handy advantage over number 8, as we see pits off the Acura. And in GTLM, a 3-point lead for the number 24 BMW over the number 9-11 Porsche team.
Shit.
Coming in from second, third, and fourth on the track, we've got Shinny Mashimi bringing in the Acura, but that is now Matt McMurray, who's taken over the championship leading number 86 for tires and fuel for the number 9, the Pfaff Motorsport. Lars Kern came in. He stays aboard that Porsche, but does get 4 new tires. And also into the pit lane, the Scuderia Corse Ferrari that had that little bit of contact with the prototype out on track. It is still Cooper McNeil behind the wheel. 4 tires and fuel for them as well. We await the rest of the field. But further back down the field, also in was John Potter in the 44 Magnus GRT Lamborghini. That car also getting full service.
Yeah. Just checking down to see what we're looking at there in terms of laps then. So it was 41 laps for Madison. Shinji Mashimi coming to the end of his 43rd lap and has gone through, so he's continued. So good mileage from that Meyershank Racing Acura. It's Frankie Montecalvo that's done 43 laps. Sorry, Mike, I skipped a line there. So yes, yeah. There was a couple of yellow flags laps in that, but that's really good news for Ian Vassar-Sullivan in the front-engined Lexus RCF, Jeremy.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, very good consumption there. Frankie Montecarvo will be in probably next time around. It'll be Carl Kirkwood who takes over the wheel of that car. Carl Kirkwood making his debut in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. Been an absolute stud in the open wheel ranks the last few years. He's won four championships in 2 years in 18 and 19. Absolutely remarkable. He's also driven now in five prototype challenge races, including yesterday. He's won two of them and set fastest lap in all five. His co-drivers have not been able to give him a winning position for the other races, but he's an absolute superstar in the making. That's Carl Kirkwood, who will be driving next in the number 12 car.
Why is it that everybody comes to visit me all at once? Guys, you can space it out and take your time. We've got driver changes up and down the field. Jesse Krohn is in the 24 BMW fuel and tires for him, while it's Colton Herta in the 25 BMW. Jam Jam is now in the 912 Porsche. That's Matthew Jaminet. And championship leader Jordan Taylor has taken over the 3 Corvette. We didn't have the 4 Corvette come in that time around. That was 45 laps completed. So it's 46 laps completed for the number 4 Corvette. Tommy Milner bringing it in. I would imagine that will be Ollie Gavin taking it back out. Also into the pit lane, we had GTD stops. The number 12, Frank Montecalvo, brought that Lexus in. Dylan McAvern stays aboard the Turner Motorsports BMW, as Trent Hinman is now aboard the 57 Acura for Meyer-Shank Racing. The 23 Heart of Racing just for Sarah. That car now has Darren Turner behind the wheel. So the Aston Martin, once again, with its Aston Martin driver. It is still Gar Robinson in the 74 Riley Technology Mercedes, but it is now Jack Coxworth's time to fly.
VP Racing Fuel Paddock Report with Shea Adam. And by the way, thank you very much indeed to all of the team representatives for making sure that they pass on information. As you're well aware, and we won't bother explaining why, but not everybody working at the track at the moment, and also access to the teams and drivers not as easy or indeed possible at all for the team reps and us as journalists. So brilliant work as ever, but under even more trying circumstances from the team representatives and manufacturer representatives. Thank you very much for helping us out since we went back racing in July in IMSA, and indeed in the other series that we cover here on Radio Show Limited. Just a quick reminder, by the way, if you're a regular listener to Midweek Motorsport, it is our post Le Mans week off, believe it or not, on Wednesday. So no show, though we're working on a little bit of a special, and if we can make that happen, we'll put that on the socials for you. We normally take a week off after the Le Mans 24 hours, but everything was so busy and there was so much news, we didn't. So then we thought we'd take a week off after the Nürburgring 24 hours, which was the weekend after, but everything was so, you get the idea. But with things just starting to settle down and only one race coming next weekend, the penultimate round of the Nürburgring Langstrecker series, the long distance series on the Nordschleife, we thought we'd taken the opportunity to take Wednesday evening off. So no Midweek Motorsport on Wednesday, but we'll be back a week on Wednesday, although as I say, opportunity perhaps for a little bit of a special program, which we're keeping under our hat at the moment. If we can make that happen, we will let you know. 8 hours 23 minutes to go. 98.1 FM at Road Atlanta, Sirius 217 XM 202. Thanks for allowing us to take over your airwaves, as well as we do for every IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship race. And we're around the world on RS2 IMSA Radio. RS2, part of the Radio Show Limited network of channels and the home of IMSA Radio, not just when races are on, every single day of the week, every week of the year, and every hour of the day. IMSA content for you there on RS2. It's all free and there are no geo blocks. Down to turn 10, battle going on for position in GT Daytona, as Lars Kern and Kyle Kirkwood are at it side by side for a moment in the braking area. But Kyle in the bright yellow and black Invasa Sullivan Lexus prevails on that one. The plaid Pfaff Porsche still sits behind, and that's the battle for fourth and fifth position. I'm impressed with young Mr. Kirkwood, Jeremy. Shouldn't really be, because he's one of your Team USA boys, isn't he?
Yeah, no, he is. He is very, very impressive. I mean, he did a very brief test, I'm told, at Charlotte, the Roval, a couple of weeks before the race there. So maybe 3 weeks ago, he impressed the team enough to say, yeah, okay, come join us for Petit Le Mans. Having never done a race like this before, I mean, the only longish distance races he's done was the Michelin Sebring Encore at the end of last year, which he won. The 3 hour IMSA prototype challenge race at Daytona this year, which he won, but that's about it. So this is the first time he's driven a tin top with a roof over his head, and he's been absolutely very, very impressive right away. So there's a lot of pressure on him here, because he knows how highly rated he is in motor racing generally in this country. He's still got his eyes very much set on a future EMPT IndyCar series. He knows this is a fabulous opportunity for him. He's got to make sure he doesn't make any mistakes.
After nearly 56 minutes in the pit lane, Gabby Aubrey has re-emerged in the number 85 JDC Miller Motorsport prototype, that Cadillac with the team that has a never-say-die attitude. And actually, one of their full-season drivers, Steven Simpson, sitting on the pit box this weekend doing strategy for them once again, hoping to try and steer that team in a good direction and trying to establish himself as a strategist for a potential career once he's done driving. And believe me, he's nowhere near done driving. But good to see that car back out and circulating.
Adam with that VP Racing Field pit and paddock report. Just checking in on the GT Le Mans battle. Just half a second between the two Corvettes. Many times down through the years, watching IMSA races in a variety of formats, I have said that. It is Jordan Taylor versus Tom Milner, 3 from 4. Then another half a second further back, Matthew Jaminet. So the top three in GT Le Mans absolutely together. Then a bit of a gap before Jesse Crum for BMW Team RLL in the 24, Fred Markovecki and Holton Kurter, as I once famously called Colton Hurtner. Colton, sorry, I was tired and old and stupid, of course, all of the above applies.
The number 25 car though has fallen a long way back,
yes,
from the rest of the field in GTM. Shay, do we know why? Did you mention that? Did I miss that?
I think it was a slower pit stop, Shay, wasn't it?
I didn't mention it at the time, Jeremy, but you're correct. A much slower pit stop than everyone else. It took them a minute and 47 seconds to get from pit in to pit out, whereas everyone else in GTLM took about a minute and 9 on average.
So that needs a bit of investigation. Hello to the team down at RLL, and indeed all the teams down in the pit lane listening in on the excellent PA system at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta. And I know that Michelin have brought some dealers as well, responsibly socially distanced. Tony Menard, the director of Motorsport North America for Michelin, was looking after a few guests earlier on before that Michelin countdown to green. And good to see that even in the current situation with the correct protocol, we can get a small number of fans in at the track. Very envious, I know, fans around the world tuning in at the moment who would love to be, and around the US would be, love to be there. It's not possible at the moment, but let's celebrate that and those Michelin dealers who are being entertained. Count yourselves very lucky indeed to be part of this great event. Now in its, what did you say, Jeremy? Is it the 23rd running of this race?
Yeah.
Yeah.
23rd, yes it is.
How time flies.
Absolutely.
It seems like yesterday that we came to the first one. And I keep saying, you know, Isn't it great that Petit Le Mans has established itself as you know, as one of the big races? Yeah. It's been running for nearly a quarter of a century. All of a sudden, I feel very old.
Thank you. We're coming up, by the way, for the next round of pit stops for the prototype cars, probably starting the next three or four laps, I would think. I would expect on the last round, which is the first kind of full green run, we saw number 6 and number 77, which are now the first two cars on the race set. They were first and third before that first round of pit stops. Now first and second, separated by around about 20 seconds now. That is the margin that Juan Pablo Montoya has extended over Oliver Jarvis in the Mazda.
Yeah, I like this part of the race. I like it. I like the when we go green. We saw had a very long green run when we were here a month ago in the six-hour race. And a tenth of a second here as an advantage over your stint lap times. All the drivers, there's two things they want to know. Not necessarily what their fastest lap was, but they want to know their stint average. And what they mean by that, it is taking out your in and your out laps and any full course yellows, what your average lap times, in or out of traffic, that doesn't matter, through the stint. The other thing that they want to know, and this does involve the fastest lap, is what was the variation between your fastest lap and your slowest lap? And here, you are looking at fractions of a percent, by the way. Now, battle out on the racetrack, Whelen Engineering, number 31, Pipo Durrani, down at turn 10. Big slide from the Acura behind. Helio Castroneves, who almost got alongside for a moment, but then locks up under braking as he goes down through the gearbox. That was a battle for third position, but Pipo's now has pulled out nearly 2 seconds, and Helio will have to start planning, scheming, and closing that gap all over again. All started coming out of turn 7, then that long run down the curving back straight, Jeremy. Great save, actually. By Helio Castroneves. Many a lesser driver would have pitched that sideways and lost that and put it into the beach.
I mean, that was gone. I mean, there was no way he was going to save that, I wouldn't have thought. It was quite remarkable, really impressive by Helio Castroneves. I think, you know, he knows he's coming up for his next pit stop, so he's trying to close the gap to that number 31 car, pushing as hard as he possibly can. Talking of which, Ryan Briscoe, who, by the way, overtook Sebastian Bourdais about a half a dozen laps ago, the number 10 ahead of number 5. Briscoe also pushing hard as he gets ready for his next stop. He's just had his best lap in the race, 1 minute 10.3 on this last lap, lap 18.
Hello to Jason Elliott. Great coverage. Hoping to be back next year once we can all travel again. He's supporting Corvette Racing in GT Le Mans and the number 9 Faf car, as into the pits comes Ollie Jarvis. Shea is watching that.
He should be staying aboard since he just got in the last time they did a pit stop, and it's not like Ollie Jarvis to willingly leave a race car after only 40 minutes. So it'll be fuel and tires for the 77 Mazda, and then he'll be sent on his jolly way.
30 laps for that car. And it is tyres, so they've had tyres at each stop then, Shea, for the 77 car. They haven't double-stinted a set of tyres yet.
No, and it is a question as to whether or not they will need to, because 22 sets over the course of the weekend, we should be getting somewhere in the neighbourhood of, 18 pit stops over the course of this race.
Right.
So they will need a double stint, but that'll come in the nighttime, you would expect, more so when you need to keep the heat in the tyres.
Great question from... go ahead, Jeremy.
No, I was going to say, I think they might not even need to double stint at all. I don't think they'll be doing, it depends how many tyres they haven't used during the practice and qualifying. They'll certainly have been as abstemious as they could have been.
Back to you, Shea, as in comes one of the Acuras. It's the 6 car making a call for service. And in fact, the 7.
Juan Pablo Montoya is the first car that we get to witness his pit stop. Fuel, tires, drinks bottle change. So I did notice the right side door was open. Left side door is the one that they use for driver changes. Right side door is the one that they use for driver comfort in order to give them a new drinks bottle or to say, hey, you're doing a good job. fuel and tires, and away goes Juan, as in comes the sister car, and Elio Castroneves, having used up every bit of Michelin rubber on those tires, trying to keep it out of the beach in that slide. Amazing recovery. Getting four new tires. Oh, and a new nose. They're doing a nose change on the 7 as well. Now, these two teams, even though they're under the same name, they are registered as two separate entities, so their pit boxes are in separate locations. And this is an advantage that one car always
have. Just lost Cher there for a moment. Let's wait to see why we get, if we can get her back. Cher, try that again. You got halfway through the explanation of why the Penske's pit apart.
Ah, why it's a good thing.
Ah, you're back. Yes, there we are.
They pit separately so that both cars will have clean entrance and exit of the pit box, which if you have the two-car team, one's going to have the entrance block, one's going to have the exit block. Yeah. So they keep their separate, makes things nice and neat. Also into the pit lane was another car that runs by itself, the 31 Whelen Engineering Cadillac. Pippo Durrani stays aboard, fuel and tires for him as well.
Thank you, Shep.
Yeah. And the only car that, of the leaders who has not yet made a pit stop once again is the number 10 car, Ryan Briscoe. As on the first stint, he stayed out a lot longer than everybody else. And if he keeps this up, he'll be able to do this whole race on one less pit stop than everybody. But still very, very early yet, of course. But he's just showing, he's showing good pace, respectable pace, not super fast pace, but exactly what he needs to do at this stage in the race, and getting excellent fuel economy as well in that number 10 car for Konica Minolta Racing.
Yeah, 30 laps for Castro Neves, and that was full green. What did we have for the Mazda as well? Ollie Jarvis, 30 laps. Pippo Durrani, only 29 actually for the Whelen car. 31 for Montoya. Bourdais has come in at 30. Briscoe is on his, about to finish his 30th lap this time around. Sorry, Jeremy?
He's already done 31, has number 10 car. He's in now. So 84 laps, that's a 32.
I thought he
54,
came in
54 he came in last time.
Right,
I beg your pardon, sorry, yeah, yeah. 54 last time.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
Wrong place.
No, we all do that, don't you worry. A little bit of action up at turn number 7. The usual schmozzle when prototypes and GTs get together. Notable, though, that Briscoe does cycle back to the lead when everybody stops, so he's still within touching distance to get back to the lead for the lap or two laps that he's going longer. And if he keeps going, as Jeremy said, that extra lap of fuel each time, that gap is going to be 3 laps, then 4 laps, then 5 laps.
But this time it wasn't. He was on. He did the same number of laps as just about everybody else. Actually, a bit less than some this time around.
Yeah, he only did 30 laps, whereas Montoya did 31. You're absolutely right. So yeah, they did better. So maybe they've got a better map for fuel saving under the safety car, because the last stint had 2 laps of safety car in it. So, but that still could be significant. We need to bear that in mind. We really need to bear that in mind. Shea Adam, I was watching that stop, and there was a driver change and a significant one.
Scott Dixon is now aboard the glossy black Cadillac, the Conor Minolta car with the future 6-time IndyCar champion aboard of it. So that's a very exciting driver change.
I think Joseph Newgarden might have something to say about that.
Yeah, Joseph, we'll see what you can do. I still believe there's a chance for either one of them, but it's Scott Dixon, and I was always raised to cheer for Scott Dixon. We've also got another significant driver change out there. He was a teammate of Dario, and that always happens.
All right, okay.
Dario, so, you know, it's fair. We've got another significant driver change, because in the number 5 Cadillac, that is the Mustang sampling car, Loic Duval is making his Petit Le Mans debut.
That is not possible. That is not possible that Loic Duval hasn't driven here before. What, not in his Peugeot days, not in any of the other cars he's driven down through the years? That cannot be possible.
0 Petit Le Mans starts prior to today.
Wow. Extraordinary. This from Alex Gates on at IMSA Radio. Does the DPI category have something similar to balance of performance or equivalent of technology that we would see in LMP1 or GTE, GT Le Mans and GTD? Alex, it does. And the IMSA technical team worked very hard indeed and everything that they do is data driven, and they collect gigabytes of data. I mean, just absolutely teraflops of it. And everything that they do, not only is it data driven, they also are very open, not only with the teams but also with us journalists, to let us know not just what they're doing but what they're trying to achieve by doing it. And they've got pretty good at it down through the years in pretty much all of the categories, I would say, Jeremy Shaw, and not least in the DPIs, where you've got three manufacturers, three different chassis and three very different engine configurations.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it? And you know, and seem to be pretty very closely matched, as the overall leader puts another lap on the GTD leader. That's Brian Sellers, who leads the way still in GTD, but not by very much, over Matt McMurray, who stayed right with him in that Meyer Shank Racing Acura, number 48, number 86. Overall, up at the front of the field, what's interesting to me, all of a sudden, number 31 car has made a lot of ground. It's now less than 10 seconds behind. It's actually come down another second on this last lap, actually.
Yeah, 8 seconds now.
Yeah, so we talked about the fact that number 31 car last time did a stint of only 29 laps. So a lap less, number 7 car, would have needed quite a bit less fuel, therefore, so a much faster stop. Plus, Rupa Durrani has now got himself ahead of the Mazda during that round of pit stops, and is now trying to stretch that lead in second position. So that, I think, was an interesting strategic ploy by the number 31 car to get out ahead of number 77 and try and capitalise on that and reduce the deficit at the same time to the overall race leader.
And that's exactly what we're saying, Jeremy. That was 18 seconds, wasn't it, when those two got in the cars, Montoya and Durrani. So you've got to look at the trend, and the trend is it's swinging towards Durrani. And it's not just single laps here then. That's Durrani putting his foot down. And I wonder whether that means he's burning more fuel. I haven't had a chance to look at the pit stop at times for the 31, but I'll do that and see if he's just burning more fuel. But that's calculated in terms of what lap times they can do. They have been in the pit lane. First stop, 56 seconds, 105 and 104 for their other two pit stops. And how does that compare with, say, the Montoya car, which is the number six? Well, they were 56 seconds as well, and 104 and 105. So this seemed to be about the same share.
Yeah, it's almost the same in terms of the pit times for all of them. We've just had two more pit callers, by the way. The number 8 has come in, the 52 PR1 Matheson car, Scott Heffiger, staying behind the wheel of that car, but he did take fuel and tires. And into the 38, a notable driver change, as Jim McGuire has now done about a minute and an hour and 50 in that prototype. It's Colin Brown's turn to take over for Performance Tech, so his third different LMP2 team in three races this year.
Oh, yeah, good point. And Colin back in LMP3 next year with John Bennett. That announced last week now, I think, wasn't it? John joining us on Midweek Motorsport on Wednesday. Great to have a chat with one of the smiliest people in a very happy paddock. IMSA has a lot of very happy people in it, and John's right up there at the top. Now down to 6 seconds. Durrani inexorably eating into the lead. Montoya must be in traffic here. He must just be hitting it wrong. 13s and 12s for Montoya, 11s and 10s for Pipo Durrani at the moment. Durrani's in one of those moods at the moment, Jeremy, that when we see this, we know that the Brazilian driver is absolutely brilliant. And when he gets into that kind of flow, that kind of rhythm, I mean, you wouldn't bet against him chasing anybody down, Montoya or anybody on the track.
No, absolutely right. But Oliver Jarvis is staying right with him. He's only a couple of seconds behind him, which is actually a little bit less than he was after the round of pit stops has been completed. That change of position occurred during that round of pit stops. But Oliver Jarvis still within a couple of seconds. Now an increasing gap back to Scott Dixon's. Now, well, actually staying for about the same. Back to Scott Dixon's, another 15 seconds back in the number 10 car. And during that round of pit stops, also the number 10 car probably didn't go as long as it could do on the tank of fuel and has got out ahead of the Elia Castro Neves Acura. So all of a sudden that number seven car, having run pretty comfortably in second place through the opening stages of the race, is now down in fifth place.
That's Jeremy Shaw. He's with me, John Heindorf, in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. Shea Adam is our VP Racing Fuel pit and paddock reporter. Fourth place for Scott Dixon. And so Castro Neves and Loic Duval behind him at the moment. Two Corvettes at the head of GT Le Mans. Still just that half a second between them. And start the BMW right in behind them. The black BMW it is. So that's closed down nicely again. That's the number 24 car of Jesse Kron.
Yeah, has just got past Matthew Jaminet on that last lap. I think he made that pass for the third position. So the top four cars now nose to tail again in GTLM. Two Corvettes, the BMW of Jesse Kron and Matthew Jaminet. And Fred McAvecky, well, he's only another couple of seconds behind in the number 911 car. The Colton Herta BMW, he's a long, long, long way back. And seems to have dropped even further than he was before, actually. He's now a three-quarters of a minute behind in number 25 BMW. That's interesting.
Don't forget Michelin post-race tech in about 8 hours' time. That's quite funny to say that, isn't it? Keep an eye on what's going on and ear to our broadcast, whether you're at the track on 98.1 Road Atlanta FM, around the US and Canada on Sirius 217 XM 202, as we are for all of the IMSA WeatherTech races, and have been for what, three or four seasons now, around the world on RS2 IMSA radio and in sound and vision outside the USA. Any territory that doesn't have a network TV deal, live, free, with uninterrupted video coverage for the next 8 hours, and Michelin PRT post race tech to come at the end of the race. We're coming down to another race hour being completed. Just 8 hours to go, leading the classes. Acura, but being closed in on. Montoya against Pipo Durrani. And Pipo is closing down in that 31-wheeling engineering Cadillac. He's bringing the Ollie Jarvis number 77 red, white, or white, blue and red Mazda with him. Another 2 seconds further back, then a 17-second gap to Scott Dixon in the gloss black Koninga Minolta Cadillac DPI VR racing car. It's the 10 machine. He's 1.1 seconds ahead of Elio Castro Neves in the second of the Acuras, the number 7, Loic Duval in 6th position. In GT Le Mans, the pit stops are just starting. Corvette BMW 3, 4 and 24, separated by barely a second at the moment as they head out to turn 5, and there's a challenge for position. The BMW trying to use the traffic into turn 6 but can't make that happen. In GTD, Brian Sellers by just a second now over Matt McMurray, who's taken over the 86 Acura, and Cooper McNeil in the Scuderia courses 10 seconds further back. Oh, touch! And the hard point car into the wall at turn 7. And that's Rob Ferriol driving that car, and he definitely got help in the GTD. The white and grey fortunately went in sideways. Now, was he just pushed onto the kerb, or was he pushed from behind in that number 30 hardpoint car? That's the Audi Tyre Centre machine. There's a little bit of damage to the left rear. And whilst just before that was happening, Shea was watching the 25 BMW in the pits, which is off schedule. We'll get a report on that in a moment. Let me see if Rob gets going. He is going again. Shea, what can you tell us about the number 25 BMW? Colton Herta has brought that car back into the pit, and that was not a full run by any stretch of the imagination in that car.
No, he'd only been out on track for about 25 minutes. I was actually talking to Connor DeFilippi just before the car came back into the pit lane. He said that the number 7 Penske Acura hit him. Well, he was at the pit entry trying to come into the pit lane. That caused some damage to the car. But it was a good car early on in clean air. Track position is key. But this stop right now, this is not going according to plan. And he's been in there for way too long.